following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to a Wednesday. Thankfully, sound is okay. Everything seems to be working. It is a Wednesday. Yeah, I know every week has one. They like to call it hump day because after today, you're over the hump of the work week. It's the middle of the week, and it feels like it. Today, what a frustrating day today has been. And there's tons of news happening that we will likely cover throughout the course of the hour. If you're curious about why today's cover photo was a picture of me skydiving, I'm calling it Wednesday Without Annette. We have no guest booked for today. Again, well, not for lack of trying, just it didn't, the pieces didn't fall into place. And it's just as well because there is so much going on. The minute I signed on, I got into the chat room, and one of the first questions I see in the YouTube chat room is from Gorilla in the Mist, who says, "Hi, Nicole, are you going to call Ukraine today to check on conditions?" And I thought about it. We can. What I was thinking, though, is, and this might be more difficult than the call to Kyiv last week, what I'm thinking is we should call one of the areas under attack. One of the areas that Vladimir Putin proclaimed an independent sovereign nation, right? What's the area called? There are two of them. One is Donetsk, and I pulled up a list of some hotels. There are not, just so you know, unlike in Kyiv, where there's a Radisson and an Intercontinental and a Hyatt and a Hilton, they're not in Donetsk. So I don't know what kind of luck we'll have in getting through there. But if you guys want to call, we can. Phone lines are also open today. 954-889-6410 is the number. If you're on Skype, you can Skype in to Nicole Sandler. Just remember that, again, I fly without a net. I work without a producer or a screener, so I can take one call at a time. But if you want to call in, give it a shot. Your best bet in calling is wait until I hang up on a call and, you know, save the last digit for that and call then. And, you know, I just take the calls in the order they come in as I catch them. I don't have a mechanism to put people on hold, so it's one at a time. So we'll do that. There's so much stuff to talk about. Before we get into the meat of today's show, let me look forward to next week for just a moment, because, wow, next week is booking up fast. And I said booking. It's a Freudian slip, kind of. But I'm in a bit of a bind here. You know, I often talk with authors who have new books out, and I try to read as much of the books as I can. I usually don't get through them all, unless it's a book that so captivates me that I finished reading it after the interview was done. But there are some weeks that the authors all are loaded up in, and that's what's turning out to be next week. So on Monday, Johan Hari is going to be here. And I've interviewed Johan a number of times over the last 12 years or so for different books he's written. I really always enjoy talking to him. And he's been making the rounds for his new book, which is all about attention, how we lack focus. And it's getting tons of accolades. The book has not yet arrived here, though, so I haven't started reading it. And Johan is on Monday. On Tuesday, Brian Karam is on, and he's got a new book out. And again, they just sent me the PDF, and I didn't really have a chance to look at it. And then I booked a guy named Andy Lee Roth from Project Censored for Wednesday, and he's got a book out. It's all about Project Censored, which is an awesome organization. If you're not familiar with them, you'll learn a lot. We'll learn together. Because then on Thursday, after Howie, I'm going to be taping for an hour with Stevie Van Zandt. Now, when I first knew of him, he was Miami Steve Van Zandt, and then he became Little Steven, and then now he's Stevie Van Zandt, but he's got a book out. It's his memoir, and that's the first one I'm going to read. We'll probably air that on Friday. I'm supposed to tape it Thursday night, but I can't read four books over the course of the next few days. So bear with me if I sound a little scattered. It's because I am. I'm cut in four pieces. But today, we're all about what's happening in the news. And oh my God, there's a lot of it. And I'll leave it up to you guys in the chat rooms, both on YouTube and at at the NicoleSandler.com Listen Live page, and ask you if you want me to call Ukraine. We'll give it another shot today. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about the history of Ukraine. And a woman who's been on this show before, Jennifer Cohn, her Twitter handle is at JennyCohn1, wrote a really good sort of explainer about, and now I'm trying to find where I put it on my desktop, about Ukraine. She writes at Medium. So I'll link to it, but you have to like have a membership there to read it. So I thought what I would do is share it with you because it's not that long. I did invite Jenny on the show today for a number of reasons. She couldn't make it. So, but she did give me permission to share with you this article that's called What's All the Fuss About Ukraine? So let's go through some of this, shall we? Because I think it's important to know. So we'll start with, again, she wrote this just a couple of weeks ago. It was January 25th was the date of the article. And she wrote, and again, this is a little history lesson for all of us, because we should know who Ukraine is, what this area is about. And, you know, there are people criticizing what's going on who couldn't identify where Ukraine is on a map. So, you know, look, this is the educational part of the program. And Jenny Cohn wrote, Ukraine gained independence from the former Soviet Union in 1991. Ever since, Russia's President Vladimir Putin has wanted Ukraine to join with Russia in forming a Eurasian Union. But many Ukrainians have wanted the country to join the European Union and align with the West, including the United States. In Ukraine's 2004 presidential election, then Prime Minister Viktor Yanukovych, a close ally of Putin's, ran against Viktor Yushchenko. You got to get the name straight, okay? So there's Yanukovych, Putin ally, ran against Viktor Yushchenko, who wanted Ukraine to move closer to the European Union. Yushchenko led a political coalition called Our Ukraine, which, quote, united various democratic parties and groups from across the nation in hopes of bringing democracy to Ukraine. In early September of 2004, Yushchenko led Yanukovych in the polls when he, quote, fell suddenly and violently ill. This seems to happen a lot in that part of the world. With his life in danger and no clear diagnosis, his aides brought him to a clinic in Vienna. There, doctors concluded that he had been, say it with me, poisoned by a particular strain of dioxin produced in only a handful of countries, including Russia and excluding Ukraine. Yushchenko survived, but his face was disfigured. I'm going to show you a picture for those of you watching on one of the video streams. You'll see here. Let me enlarge it a little bit for you. His face was disfigured by the poison, and he suffered excruciating pain, requiring heavy pain medication. Pretty devastating, huh? Right? So, okay. So Yushchenko nonetheless returned to the campaign trail, gaining even more support. After the first round of the presidential election, the two highest polling candidates, these two, Yushchenko and Yanukovych, proceeded to a runoff on November 21st. Independent exit polls funded by the U.S. and other Western countries showed that Yushchenko won the runoff 53-44. But according to the official report, Yanukovych won 49.5-46. Well, the official results were rigged. Telephone intercepts of discussions between members of Yanukovych's campaign staff showed the campaign had tampered with the server of the State Electoral Commission to falsify the results in favor of Yanukovych. According to the testimony of a CIA agent, Yanukovych's team had, quote, introduced an unauthorized computer into the Ukraine Election Committee national headquarters. They snuck it in. The implication is that these people were making subtle adjustments to the vote. In other words, intercepting the votes before it goes to the official computer for tabulation. Taped cell phone calls of an attempted cover-up leaked to the press, leading to nationwide protests called the Orange Revolution. Do you remember that vaguely, right? Excuse me. So a second runoff was held. This time, official results showed that Yushchenko, the pro-Western candidate, had won 52-44, similar to the exit polls from the initial runoff. Yanukovych, who had been supported by Putin, conceded in disgrace. Okay, so you got that part, right? You recall the name Oleg Deripaska, right? Well, this Russian oligarch, Oleg Deripaska, soon dispatched an American political operative named Paul Manafort to Ukraine to help Yanukovych stage a political comeback. Manafort, you know, would later assist Trump, America's Yanukovych, in 2016. Anyway, Ukrainian oligarchs named Renat Akhmetov and Serhiy Leovichin, or something like that, one of the 2004 election fraud co-conspirators, also bankrolled Manafort's work in Ukraine. It gets curiouser and curiouser. So to continue, Yanukovych's efforts included having far-right U.S. journalists, if you can call them that, in the U.S., like Josh Shapiro, write pro-Yanukovych articles. Whatever else Manafort did, it worked. Under Manafort's guidance, Yanukovych won the presidency in 2010. But his opponent, Yulia Tymoshenko, claimed the 2010 election was stolen. So much drama. Oh, my God. But unlike 2004, there were no tapes to prove it, and the U.S. called the election free and fair. Soon after taking office, Yanukovych locked up Tymoshenko. The U.S. and the EU condemned her incarceration as having been politically motivated, you think? Over the course of 3 years, Yanukovych's regime stole $40 billion from Ukraine. He lived in an opulent palace that was half the size of Monaco and included its own private zoo, 18-hole golf course, and, of course, yacht. In 2013, upon Putin's urging, Yanukovych abruptly spiked a pending trade agreement with the EU, which had been years in the making, in favor of strengthening those close ties with Russia. Well, that decision triggered mass protests throughout Ukraine because many of them, especially students, wanted to align with Western Europe and thus escape the Kremlin's autocratic orbit. In response to Ukraine's pro-Europe demonstrators, state police shot and killed 17 people. The shootings sparked a revolution. Yanukovych, that's Manafort's client, fled to Russia, where he asked Putin to intervene militarily on his behalf. Now we're getting to 2014, right? Between February and March of 2014, Russia invaded and annexed Crimea. That's a peninsula along the southern border of Ukraine. In fact, let me show you. Here's a map that I'm putting up for those of you watching a video. On the left, bottom left side of the screen, you see Crimea. It's a peninsula, but not like Florida. It's sort of like a square peninsula, if you will. This marked the first time since World War II that a European country had annexed the territory of another. Russia's attack soon expanded to portions of eastern Ukraine. And if you're looking at the same map, you notice up to the right, and this map is recent. It shows where the Russian troops are all massed on the Russian border. You see the towns of, or the areas of Luhansk and Donetsk. Those are the two regions that Putin on Monday declared independent, I guess, sovereign states, right? So just keep in mind, because those are the areas that we're talking about now. Russia's attack soon expanded to portions of eastern Ukraine, meaning there. Russia also hacked Ukraine's election reporting system in 2014 and its power grid in 2016. The U.S. and EU responded to Russia's aggression toward Ukraine with sweeping sanctions. By 2015, Russia and Ukraine were at war. Yanukovych was living in Russia in exile. And Deripaska had sued Paul Manafort for $20 million in connection with a failed investment. Putin wanted sanctions lifted without giving up Crimea. If only he had a friend in the White House. And that's how Jennifer Cohn ends this story about Ukraine. That's how we got to where we are now. It is fascinating. I will link to it from the blog at NicoleSandler.com with today's date /2-23-22. All I know is that it's a mess over there. When we called Ukraine last week, we called Kyiv. I called a hotel in Kyiv, and the lovely woman who answered the phone was unaware of anything brewing. My, how things change in a week. So I don't know. What do you think, guys? Should I try calling calling Ukraine again? You know what? Let's all right. We'll do it. We'll call. What did I find? I found a hotel called. Come on, I pulled up some phone numbers so I didn't have to do this. Okay, the Shakhtar Plaza. It's a 4-star hotel in Donetsk Oblast in Ukraine. And well, let's just see if I can call this number, if it will work. And again, I have no idea. This is not, a Western hotel chain. And we are talking about the part of Ukraine that is now that Vladimir Putin has declared independent territory. So, but it's a 4-star hotel. It looks absolutely lovely. So let's see what we get. No promises, as usual. Yes. It got 4.7 stars. Excellent, it says. And it is ringing. Calling Ukraine. Or the independent, I forget what they call it now. What Putin calls it now.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, do you speak English?
No.
Does anybody there speak English?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Spasiba. Bye. All right. Well, that one's not going to work. All right. Well, so much for that. And I have a feeling this might be the case no matter where I call in that region. Then we can try Odessa. Here's what I was thinking. Odessa is, let me pull up a map again and I'll show you. Odessa is nowhere near Kyiv. Ukraine is a huge country, right? You know that, right? So Odessa is, you saw where Crimea is. Odessa is to the left, as you're looking on the map, to the west of, sort of northwest, I guess. So it's not near these independent regions, as they say. But it's also not in Kyiv. So there is a Radisson there and there's a phone number. So let's try that. Okay. 353. I wonder if that's, it is Ukraine, but it looks like it's a different country code. Let me just see one thing on here. Sorry, this is all, new to me. So if I call, let's see, if I do this, it says Ukraine. I wonder if Odessa, no. All right. It just comes up as Ukraine, but that says 380 and this says 353. I'm just going to try to do it like that. Let's see what happens. Okay. 353. 1513. There's a lot of numbers here. 8080. I have no idea if this will work. Oh, it's this saying United States. No, we don't want United States. We want Well, we'll try this and see what happens. It's live radio, everybody. Here, I'll put the picture back up. Don't know. Don't know if this will work or not. Odessa is like, has got Greek, Turkish, and Russian styles. Oh, yeah, that didn't work. The number I entered is invalid. Odessa might have a different country code. Let me try one other thing. Let's see if I can do it like this. See what happens then. Let's try it. Try it again. No, that doesn't work either. Let's try it without the 353 and see what happens. One. I don't know if this will work at all. I wonder if I can do it like this. I know, this is fascinating, right? Thanks for bearing with me, everybody. Oh, this says Ireland. That's not Ireland. Is 353 the Ireland country code? Yeah, this is not going to work. All right. Well, I can try one other. You want to try one other? Park Inn by Radisson Donetsk. And there's no phone number on this one. That's the problem there. All right, let's try one more in Donbass. I know, I shouldn't be doing this, right? I would like to speak with an actual person. I wish I could just call. Here's a hotel called the John Hughes, and there's a phone number. All right, this will be the last one we try, all right? We'll give it one more college try. 380, right? Then it goes... 2-3-8. If you want to call, you know, you can. Okay. So we're calling the John Hughes Hotel, a 3-star hotel in Donetsk. Okay. It's looking like it's trying to connect. I don't hear anything. Dun 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 dun. It's showing that it's ringing, but we're not hearing anything, and I don't think this is going to go through. We try, right? We try. Phone service not so good there. Russia is a hostage hostel. Yes. Maybe Rudy can suggest something. Yeah. Odessa should be city code 380. That would be country code. Yeah, this is not going through. Country code 380, city code 482. To somebody who's asking me if I can call Malcolm Nance, I don't know Malcolm Nance. So, no, I can't call him. I can't help you with that one. All right, I'm looking at the, can I call a Russian hotel on the border? I don't know that that's such a good idea. But because Russians, I know, are not going to be able to speak freely. You know, let me try one other. Let's see what else I have up here. I had so many things open. All right. I did try, you know, I called one hotel earlier just to see if it would go through and if somebody English speaking answered. It's a 5-star hotel in Donetsk. And somebody answered the phone and I said, do you speak English? And he said, yes. And I wonder, do I have that call up here? Here, let me, I turned on the recorder in mid-call so you could hear what happened. And this is what happened.
I understand. Well, I hope everything is okay. I hope you guys are all safe.
It didn't even record.
I understand.
It didn't record his part. He just said, I can't talk. You know, I can't say anything. I'm just an employee. But, you know, maybe we'll get someone else. So, all right, we'll try that one. And see what happens. So it is, again, we're calling Ukraine. And then the number is 6234-3433. All right. And it didn't go. Damn it. What did I just say it was? 6234. 3-4-3-3-3. All right, this is the last one, I promise. Then we'll move
on. Дане направлення не существує. Даного напрямку не існує. The line you have chosen does not exist.
The line I've chosen does not exist. That's the number that I called before, isn't it? 380-6234-334-333. So I called that number earlier. That is the exact number I called. And now it's saying that number doesn't exist. We'll try it one more time. Oh, now it sounds like it's ringing. I guess it's the phone service, right? I'm guessing they have AT&T. And you, nope, number unavailable. So, oh, well, we tried. You know what? Maybe I'll keep trying off the air and I'll record it so that I don't waste all of our time here because we've eaten up 20 minutes doing this. So, yeah. So anyway, that's do not dial that number. It can also, okay, we're done with that. You know what we should move on to is Fox, not news. So a number of weeks ago, when we first learned that these hostilities were brewing, that looked like Putin was going to invade Ukraine yet again, Tucker Carlson started acting weirder than usual. We know he's not a normal man. There's something wrong with him. But this is from November. All right. This is Tucker Carlson in November trying to say he doesn't understand why we would side with Ukraine over Russia in any dispute.
Right, but hold on. Why would we take Ukraine's side and not Russia's side? It's a sincere question. If you're looking from the American perspective. Side. No, but why? I mean, who's got the energy reserves? Who's the major player in world affairs? Who's the potential counterbalance against China, which is the actual threat? Why would we take Ukraine's side? Why wouldn't we be on Russia's side? I'm totally confused.
Ukraine is a democracy. Russia's an authoritarian regime that is seeking to impose its will upon a validly elected democracy in Ukraine. And we're on the side of democracy. That's why people were chasing those planes in Afghanistan and wouldn't be chasing Russian ones. We're for democracy. We're for liberty. We're not for authoritarian regimes coming in and changing borders by tanks. Russia isn't showing up on the border with ballot boxes. They're showing up on the border with tanks. And that's why we need to make certain we're on the side of democracy.
Yeah, I'm guessing for democracy in other countries, I guess.
I guess I'm for democracy in other countries, I guess. When did Fox become anti-democracy and pro-Russia? That's what I'd like to know. Anyone? Bueller? Do you know? And then this is from just the other day, yesterday, I believe, when Fucker Carlson said, well, Ukraine isn't a democracy.
Telling us that Ukraine is a democracy, therefore we have a moral obligation to defend it. You can't say it enough. Ukraine is not a democracy. Ukraine is a country in which the president, the ruling party, supported by Joe Biden, essentially managed by the State Department,
Bullshit.
Has arrested the main opposition leader, has closed
what?
Opposition media, newspapers and television stations. That's not a democracy. And by the way, if the Biden administration believes that is a model democracy, we ought to be very concerned because it's not. It's authoritarian.
That's authoritarian. See, you wonder when I talk about being an opposite world, this is the prime example of opposite world. That's where Tucker Carlson lives.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction.
Hold on.
There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
Okay, so hi, David. What's up?
So you asked a question.
Yeah.
And I believe I may have the answer.
Okay, what was the question?
The question was, when did Fox News become pro-Russia and against democracy?
Yeah.
And I believe that date was January 20th, 2021.
The day that Joe Biden was inaugurated? The day after Joe Biden took office?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they were, you know, but when the former guy was in office, he was pro-Russia. We can't forget Helsinki and Donald Trump standing on the world stage with Vladimir Putin when he took Putin's side over U.S. intelligence, the intelligence agencies, the government of the United States. He sided with Vladimir Putin over the U.S. I think it was pretty much there then because they just bowed down to Donald Trump.
Well, but you asked the question, when was Fox?
Yeah.
And
oh,
that was when
I see.
They started.
I got gotcha. You.
Said, when did Fox?
When did, you're right,
and
I did.
As, right. So, no. And by the way, you mentioned the word intelligence. How pathetic a country do we have when the ranking member of the Senate Intelligence Committee is a spineless, corrupt, fucking weasel like little Macro Rubio?
Oh boy, I've got a Rubio. Oh, I have an editorial to read about Macro Rubio in just a few minutes. From here, from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, they're not very high on Macro, so we'll get to that. Okay, David, thank
okay.
you. All right, bye.
Go get him.
Thanks. Bye. Love you too. That's my husband. All right. So, now Donald Trump. I know we don't like to hear his voice, and you know I hold the clips down to a minimum. But you got to hear what he said yesterday. He goes on some crazy right-wing podcast, and, well, he actually said he called Vladimir Putin a genius for declaring these two regions in Ukraine independent. I can't even follow the workings of his warped mind.
Well, what went wrong was a rigged election, and what
oh,
went
please.
Wrong is a candidate
oh,
that shouldn't be there
already.
And a man
Stop
that
it.
Has no concept of what he's doing. I went in yesterday.
You have no
and there was
concept.
A television screen, and I said, "This is genius." Putin declares a big portion of the Ukraine of Ukraine. Putin declares it as independent. Oh, that's wonderful. So Putin is now saying it's independent, a large section of Ukraine. I said, how smart is that? And he's going to go in and be a peacekeeper.
A peacekeeper.
That's the strongest peace force. We could use that on our southern border.
Oh, my God. That's- so he's sending in soldiers, calling them peacekeepers, and Donald Trump's gone, how brilliant is that? We could use them on our southern borders and call them peacekeepers. And this is who these people are aligning with. Then Fucker Carlson says, hi, Joy. What's up?
I just talked to somebody in Poland, and
you
that's
did.
Who you need to speak to. Yes.
In Poland.
Her name is.
Okay.
Well, she's right on the border, too.
Okay.
Her name is Martina.
Uh-huh.
She's at the Hampton by Hilton.
Oh, so you called a hotel like I do?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Because I'm an ally. She lives in Olsztyn, Poland.
Okay.
And the number is 4889-300-1000.
Okay, so
4889-300-1000.
Okay, and it's in
and
Poland.
Her name is Martina. Yes, in Poland. They're right along the border.
Okay.
Also.
All right.
And the Russian troops are along that border, too.
Yes.
And they're all freaked out.
Are they? All right. Well, let me give her a call. I'll call her.
Yeah. She's cool.
Okay.
She's really sweet.
Okay. Let me see if I can get her. Thanks, Joy.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
You're welcome.
All right. Look, this is we just have an hour to play together. Well, I'm game for anything. All right. So let me bring up Poland and see what happens here. Skype, people ask how I call. I'm not calling on my cell phone. I don't have an international plan. But Skype will allow you, you pay for a number, but you can call anywhere in the world. N-O-P, Poland, Poland. And that's 48. Okay, she said it was 4889. So I bet it's then 89300100. We'll see. We shall see.
Dzień dobry. Hampton by Hilton, Olsztyn.
There we go.
English, press 5.
English, press 5.
Rezerwacje indywidualne.
Okay,
wait,
press
1.
5. English, press 5.
For individual reservations, press 1. For group reservations and conference inquiries, press 2. To speak to a team member, press 3.
We'll press 3. We'll speak to a team member. On hold, music in Poland. Everybody dance.
Oh. Dzień dobry, Hotel Hampton by Hilton Olsztyn. Martina przy telefonie. W czym mogę pomóc?
Hi, I'm looking for Martina.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that you?
Yes.
Hi, Martina. My name is Nicole. You just spoke to a friend of mine named Joy. I'm actually doing a radio show well, a podcast sort of mm-hmm. radio show. Anyway, in the United States, and we're worried about what's going on in that part of the world. And Joyce said you told her there are Russian troops or there's troops around your area. Can you tell me?
I am not the person who can talk about this situation.
I see.
I am a receptionist, and the grand manager is not here. So maybe you will recall to us.
Call another time.
Another time, because here in Poland there is 11 p.m. So every person who can talk with you is now sleeping.
I see.
So maybe in another time.
I guess I need to call earlier in the day when during mm-hmm. business hours. But how mm-hmm. are you feeling? Do you feel safe? Just you personally?
For now, yes.
For now.
For now, yes. We don't know how it will be few day and month later. But for now, yes.
Okay. Well, our thoughts are with you. We don't want war. I hope, you know, mm-hmm. I hope cooler minds prevail. I hope everybody stays safe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry that this is happening. This shouldn't be happening. Mm-hmm. This shouldn't be happening.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have a good night. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, see, I think when I say that I'm on the air, which I kind of have to do, although calling another country, maybe not. Here in the U.S., if I call somebody and I put them on the air, I have to tell them they're on the air. But yes, Poland is preparing to receive refugees with support from the 83rd Airborne. She does sound scared. You know, that's the thing. And that's why I usually don't ask them their names, because they may not want to give it. And maybe because I said her name. Anyway, so we got the crazies over on Fox, right, that are now pro-Russian. And you think about, you know, you go through history, and it's not that they're pro-Russian. It's that they're anti-Biden. Anything Joe Biden does, they will do the opposite. But I still don't see how that serves any purpose whatsoever. I don't understand where it's going to get them. But then again, I don't understand anything about how the Republicans work. Let's bring it back here for a minute. So you know that in 2016, for that election, the Republican Party put together a platform, as political parties do on presidential election years. They have a platform on which they run. Well, for 2020, they didn't. They didn't change their platform, even though the platform in 2016, one of the items in it was replacing the current president. It was written in those words. The language was unchanged for 2020. They did not release a new platform. So part of the platform in 2020 was replace the current president, which I guess we did, didn't we? Well, now, going into the midterms, the Republican Party is not releasing any kind of agenda, any kind of plan for what they want to accomplish when they hopefully don't take back control of Congress, whether it's the House or the Senate or both, God forbid. Mitch McConnell said, no, I'm not going to do that. We're just going to keep going. It's, I guess, going to be business as usual or something along those lines. So Rick Scott went ahead and did it. Now, you don't know Rick Scott the way I know Rick Scott, but here in Florida, we have the crazy. We have the monopoly on the crazy contingent, or so it seems, because we have the governor, more on death sentence. We have little Macro Rubio and Rick Scott. Rick Scott, who was the head of this hospital group called Columbia HCA, that was guilty of perpetrating the largest Medicare fraud in American history on the government. Rick Scott was the CEO. while they perpetrated this fraud. And when he was called to testify, he took the Fifth 75 times. That's Rick Scott. He's got the personality of a, I don't even know. He is Voldemort. He's the guy that I always referred to as Voldemort because, well, number one, he looks like him. And number two, he acts like him. Anyway, better than I can put it, Jennifer Rubin, former conservative, I guess she's still a conservative, but no longer a Republican, columnist for The Washington Post, wrote this piece that just she published. Rick Scott just laid out a Republican agenda. He has done his party no favors. And here's what she wrote. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell might be ruthless, cynical, and power-hungry, but he's not dumb. There's a reason he declared late last year that the GOP would not put out an agenda for the midterms. When most voters learn what the party stands for example, curtailing education on race, rolling back environmental laws, criminalizing abortion, they don't like it. Well, Senator Rick Scott, chair of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, had other plans. He put out his own agenda on Tuesday, yesterday, and it's a doozy. Let's start with what's not in there. Any proposal to bring down inflation, which Republicans have been hollering about for months, to increase wages or reduce income inequality, to prepare workers for the 21st century economy, to provide relief from tariffs, which are essentially taxes, and to increase school performance on basic subjects. Those are things it doesn't include. What it does include is embarrassing. Start with this, quote, sorry, "We will secure our border, finishing the wall, and name it after President Dumbfuck." Sorry, I can't say those words together, so I substituted. Republicans had their chance to do this when the defeated former president was still in office and failed. Moreover, such a project would be so expensive that it has lost support in deep red Texas. It's also irrelevant to real border protection so much that it's become a punchline. Scott's agenda also includes draconian cuts to government that Republicans didn't even favor when they were in the majority. The proposed 25% cut in the federal workforce will not be popular with anyone who visits national parks, relies on federal law enforcement, has an issue with Social Security, needs a tax refund, or thinks we need a strong national defense. Some items serve solely as an attack on minority groups. Consider this slam on transgender Americans. Quote, this is what it says in Rick Scott's agenda. Quote, "Men are men, women are women, and unborn babies are babies. We believe in science." Sorry. Back to Jennifer Rubin, who wrote, "This has nothing to do with any conceivable federal policy. It's pure culture wars fodder for right-wing media." Then there are the massive tax hikes. Quote, "All Americans should pay some income tax to have skin in the game, even if a small amount. Currently, over half of Americans pay no income tax. That would affect tens of millions of Americans, including many working class Americans and seniors. Interestingly, many corporations pay no federal income taxes, but the plan is silent on that. It might be the most regressive tax plan Republicans have ever come up with." And that's the one that the Democrats are pouncing on. More about that coming up. She continues, "Some proposals are insincere, such as term limits for members of Congress. Don't keep running for office. Others are pure racial demagoguery, such as the proposed ban on critical race theory in schools, over which the federal government has no authority." There's also this statement, quote, "Americans will not be required to go against their core values and beliefs in order to conform to culture or government." End quote. What if one's core belief is to discriminate against workers or refuse to pay taxes? Some items are so deeply dishonest that they give away the game. The document accuses the left of rigging elections and deplores the term voting rights, which speaks volumes about how Republicans view their own voter suppression tactics and schemes to subvert election results. This is the classic propaganda tactic. Accuse others of your own offenses. Oh my God, that's what they do every waking moment. And she finishes by saying, taken as a whole, the agenda reveals that the Republican Party is not a political party with ideas to improve the lives of Americans. It's a frightful expression of white grievance and contempt for the intelligence of voters. And it confirms what we have long suspected. Republicans don't lack an agenda. They're just shy about revealing how unpopular it is. Democrats should publicize Scott's blueprint far and wide. I don't often read Jennifer Rubin. Again, I've got a thing about the Never Trumpers. I'm glad they're Never Trumpers, but I think they need to get in the trenches and take back the Republican Party. Don't come over to the Democrats. We don't want you because you're not a Democrat. You have different thoughts on how things should run. You don't believe in a living wage. You don't believe in universal health care. You don't believe health care should be a basic human right. We have differences, and that's okay. You're a Republican. Take back your party. If all these Never Trumpers would get together and say, you know what? Enough with these people. They're carpetbaggers. They don't speak for us. We're Republicans. We're the true conservatives. Take back your party. You've got Liz Cheney there. She'd make a great presidential candidate. You got Adam Kinzinger. You got a handful of others who knew what was going on January 6th and actually voted to impeach the former guy because he fomented an insurrection. Take back your party. Stop playing on MSNBC. Go demand the airwaves at Fox and take back your party. I implore you. Leave us alone. Let the Democrats do what the Democrats do. Be Republicans and kick these Trumpers to the curb. Let them form their own party. Am I crazy here? I don't understand why these Republicans have given up control of their party. I think we need to really mount a campaign to get these Never Trumpers to stand to grow a pair. Because this is infuriating. I know Liz Cheney is horrible. I don't want her. She's not on our side. Yes, she's anti-Trump, as she should be, as all Americans should be. You heard what he said. Here's a little more of it. Sorry to do this to your ears, but oh my God.
That's the strongest peace force I've ever seen. There were more army tanks than I've ever seen. They're going to keep peace, all right.
They're going to keep peace.
No, but think of it. Here's a guy who's very savvy. I know him very
savvy.
Well.
Savvy. You don't know him very well.
By the way, this never would have happened with us. Had I been in office, not even thinkable. This would
really?
Never have happened.
No, because you'd be doing it for him. You'd have invaded Ukraine to kiss his ass. God, this is, oh, I'm sorry, I won't play anymore. It infuriates me. Can we start a concerted campaign to get the Republicans, who are true conservatives, to take back control of their parties? Of their party. It's one party. I got myself all crazy. Oh, thank you. John G40 tweeted out the Medium piece from Jenny Cohn for me, so I just retweeted it. Okay, what else? There's other stuff. All right, I talked about, you know, while we're, all right, so I mentioned Rick Scott. I should share with you, did I not? Oh, shit. Where is it? There was... Okay. By the way, the DCCC today released a radio ad to highlight Rick Scott's plan. And it's just a 15-second radio ad, so I'll do my best announcer. We're making sure voters know the facts about Senate Republicans' agendas, a tax hike on millions of seniors and over half of all Americans. At every opportunity, Republicans are pushing the interests of the ultra-wealthy and big corporations that get rich by spiking costs, all while working families pay the price. In 2022, voters will hold every GOP Senate candidate accountable. That's my professional voiceover work. Anyway, so that's an ad that's going to be running on I guess, radio stations and podcasts. Hello, Democratic National Senatorial Campaign Committee. I'll take your ad. They don't advertise on my show. Anyway, so that's that. There is a piece. What did I do with it? The South Florida Sun Sentinel just has a wonderful op-ed, and I must have closed it. Oh, I'm going to find it. SunSentinel.com. Let's see if I can't find this editorial in today's paper about Little Macro. Yeah, because Marco Rubio has a habit of not showing up. So the headline on this editorial in today's paper reads, Rubio shows up, then reminds us his time should be up. And this paper we dropped because they were so leaning the wrong way. Anyway, the Sun Sentinel editorial board wrote, Florida senior senator Marco Rubio has made himself seen and heard a lot lately. Unfortunately, he did TV interviews on Face the Nation and News Nation and made an infrequent appearance at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, where he has helped to obstruct confirmations of dozens of President Joe Biden's ambassadorial nominees, including the Holocaust scholar Deborah Lipstadt. Rubio is up for re-election this year, but the more he opens his mouth, the less he appears to deserve six more years. Oh, that deserves this. On CBS Face the Nation, he defended the RNC's jaw-dropping declaration that the House Select Committee investigation of the January 6th insurrection is, quote, persecution of ordinary citizens engaged in legitimate political discourse. However, he alluded to only one such person who turned out to be properly under investigation for having signed one of those fraudulent elector certificates intended to keep Donald Trump in the White House. In the same interview, Rubio couldn't bring himself to say that Trump was wrong when he claimed that Vice President Mike Pence could have discarded electoral certificates for Biden. Rubio said he didn't believe a vice president had such authority, but he left viewers with the impression that he was too timid to contradict Trump directly. On News Nation, Rubio took exception to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's description of the event accurately as a violent insurrection. Rubio conceded, it was a, quote, dangerous riot, a violent riot, but he insisted it was not an insurrection because it didn't come close to succeeding. Nonsense! The federal law on rebellion or insurrection criminalizes the attempt without regard to the outcome. It also states that anyone convicted under that title is, quote, incapable of holding any office under the United States. That may explain Rubio's semantic quibble and parsing of words to avoid stating the obvious. It caters to some of his colleagues in Congress, as well as their idol Trump, who could be barred from ever holding office again by terms of the 14th Amendment if they're found to have contributed to an insurrection. Now, to his credit, Rubio did not join Florida's junior Senator Rick Scott in voting against accepting any of Biden's electors on that terrible day. But it does him no credit now to portray the events of January 6th as anything less than they were. The South Florida Sun Sentinel editorial board continues, Rubio needs to fact check himself. He boasted of his signature on a Republican bill to ban the U.S. government from distributing pipes to smoke crack and other illegal substances, but it did no such thing, according to PolitiFact, a leading fact checker. The claim was based on a conservative media source, the Washington Free Beacon, which misinterpreted a Department of Health and Human Services announcement of a, quote, substance harm reduction grant. The 75-page grant proposal, PolitiFact said, does not mention crack pipes. So what's Rubio smoking? He should have read it rather than relying on a secondhand account. Harm reduction kits, which typically contain disinfectant wipes, rubber mouthpieces, and filters, are intended to help keep addicts from unintentionally killing themselves. At a Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing on February 8th, Rubio took the lead in questioning Lipstadt about her past criticisms of Republicans, in particular of Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, for a tweet that said he would have been more concerned about the violence of January 6th had the overwhelmingly white rioters been Black Lives Matter or Antifa protesters. Lipstadt had tweeted in reply, quote, this is white supremacy nationalism, pure and simple. Well, that's the truth. But her willingness to call out a senator is the main reason she has not been confirmed as Biden's special envoy for monitoring and combating anti-Semitism worldwide. Her nomination has been on hold since July. Rubio, who represents a state with one of the nation's largest Jewish populations, is part of that problem. Lipstadt, an Emory University professor, is one of the world's leading authorities on anti-Semitism. She famously won a libel suit filed against her for having exposed the British writer David Irving as a Holocaust denier. At the hearing, she cited past criticisms of Democrats as well, but it didn't mollify Johnson, who isn't a member of the committee, but showed up to accuse her of, quote, malicious poison. Ugh. Ron Johnson, the most controversial senator from Wisconsin since red-baiting Joe McCarthy in the 1950s, trumpets Trump's false claims that the election was stolen from him. According to news accounts, Rubio's questions to Lipstadt were appropriate, not hostile. But the time is long past for him to choose between a fellow Republican senator who can't bear the truth and the professor who put that senator to blame. The committee should confirm Lipstadt with no more delay, and Rubio's vote should be an enthusiastic yes. Again, the headline was a bit more, to the point than the editorial. The headline reads, Rubio shows up, then reminds us his time should be up. It's a comedy of errors down here between little macro Rubio, Rick Voldemort Scott, and Governor Moron death sentence. You know what's happening today in Tallahassee? You know, it is the Florida legislative session in swing, in full swing. It goes on, I think, for 60 days, like a month, 2 months tops, once a year. That's it. So it ends ostensibly March 11th, unless they extend it. And today they are set to confirm that quack, Joseph Lapido, or Latipo, whatever his name is, as Florida's Surgeon General. He's an anti-vaxxer. He, when he was going around to the Florida Senate offices to, you know, meet them and to schmooze to get their votes, there was one, a senator from right up the road here in Boca Raton, Senator Tina Pulsky, who had just recently been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she was undergoing chemotherapy. And this was a couple of months ago, or 3 or 4 months ago now. And when he went to her office, he wasn't wearing a mask. And her office asked him politely to put on a mask, and he refused. He refused. And then later on, when he was asked about it, he said, oh, I like giving a hard time to people who are, who are rude to me or something. I'm paraphrasing. But it was so offensive on every front. This is a man who still in the hearings for his confirmation would not answer the question, does the vaccine work? Wouldn't answer the question. And he cites his experience at UCLA treating COVID patients in the first, you know, in the first wave. UCLA people who worked treating COVID patients there said, we don't know who this guy is. He didn't work with us. And he certainly doesn't represent how we do things here. But, you know, that's okay with a moron death sentence, because that's what he wants. It's just astounding. Now, Friday, you know, the big bill that's being bandied about now is the, well, there's so many of them, but one of the most offensive ones is the Don't Say Gay bill. Not only can't you talk in primary school, so kindergarten through sixth grade, you can't say gay, you can't talk about sexual orientation. So, you know, when the kids go or have an assignment for what you did over your weekend or your summer break, any child who is who's got two moms or two dads can't talk about it. It's illegal, and parents can sue. And then they go off into transgender. Oh my God! If you talk about transgender, you can be sued. It's. I can't even paraphrase it because it is so offensive and nonsensical. So, you know, my pal Boca Brittany Summers is a trans woman. She hasn't been on in a while. So Boca will be here in studio with me on Friday to talk about everything going on in the Florida legislature. Because believe it or not, she keeps better track of the Florida insanity than I do. I can't. It makes me nuts. But she's better on this issue. And of course, she's directly involved. So, Yeah, Boko will be here on Friday, and that's how we'll end the week. Oh, boy. All right, we didn't accomplish half of what I was going to do today, but that's okay. We spoke to some people in Ukraine, kind of, sort of, and Poland, kind of, too. Yeah, yeah. Carol in the chat room says, where are we? This is modern America? No, they want to take us back to the 1950s. And light years back in terms of our culture. I don't get it. As I said, they've legalized abortion in many Latin American countries, just as they're outlawing it here. Opposite world indeed. All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. Tomorrow, Howie Klein and more of this mess. All right. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. All right. I'll leave you with the news because I got a lot of reading to do. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
This is the beginning of a Russian invasion of Ukraine, as he indicated and asked permission to be able to do from his Duma. So I'm going to begin to impose sanctions in response, far beyond the steps we and our allies and partners implemented in 2014. And if Russia goes further with this invasion, we stand prepared to go further as with sanctions.
President Biden on Tuesday addressed the nation and announced new sanctions that would effectively cut off Russia's financial institutions and oligarchs from Western finance. Biden also announced that he's moving additional troops and equipment to strengthen U.S. allies in the region. U.S. officials say they're holding out hope for the possibility of diplomacy to avert an all-out war, but also made it clear that Biden is ready to go much further should an invasion of Ukraine escalate. The U.K., Japan, and Australia also plan to impose sanctions against Russia. Germany has stopped the progress of the controversial Nord Stream 2 pipeline. That's the $11 billion project that would boost deliveries of liquid natural gas directly from Russia to Germany. So Putin did what he'd been denying he was going to do. He deployed Russian troops, what he's calling peacekeepers, into two eastern Ukraine regions controlled by Russian-backed separatists that Putin calls independent, declaring them sovereign nations? Huh? Biden called Putin's action, quote, a flagrant violation of international law, and said the United States is responding with the full blocking of two large Russian financial institutions, along with sanctions on Russian debt. Critics say the measures don't go far enough. Like the former guy on Tuesday praised Putin's recognition of the so-called independence of those two breakaway regions in Ukraine as, quote, genius.
This is genius. Putin declares a big portion of Ukraine. Putin declares it as independent. Oh, that's wonderful. So Putin is now saying it's independent, a large section of Ukraine. I said, how smart is that? And he's going to go in and be a peacekeeper. That's the strongest peace force. We could use that on our southern border.
Yeah, that makes my brain hurt. And they complain about Joe Biden's speech patterns? But I digress. And for some unfathomable reason, the Fox Not News propaganda channel is also siding with Putin, led by their chief misinformation purveyor, Tucker Carlson, who claimed that Ukraine is provoking conflict with Russia, among other works of fiction. Well, the Supreme Court on Tuesday surprised us all, formally ending the former guy's request to withhold his White House records from the House Select Committee investigating January 6th. The committee requested the documents as part of its effort to piece together what Trump was doing while a mob of his supporters stormed the House and Senate chambers, hoping to overturn his election loss. Trump tried to invoke executive privilege to keep the documents from the committee, but a federal appeals court in December upheld a lower court ruling saying Trump doesn't have the authority to contest President Biden's decision to let the archives hand over the material, which they have done and are in the process of doing. In what could have long-lasting and awful repercussions, the Supreme Court on Tuesday agreed to hear an appeal filed by Colorado web designer Lori Smith, who wants to be able to deny wedding-related services to same-sex couples. Seriously? She hasn't even started her business yet, but says she plans to refuse to promote messages condoning same-sex marriages because of her religious convictions. In 2018, the court considered a similar clash between a Colorado baker who refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple, but the ruling failed to provide a clear precedent, so they go back. This case gives the justices another opportunity to weigh claims of religious freedom against laws barring discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. The court is expected to hear the case in its next term, which starts on the first Monday in October. A federal jury has found the three white men who killed Ahmaud Arbery in 2020 guilty of all charges in their federal hate crimes trial, backing prosecutors' case that the men chased the 25-year-old through a Georgia neighborhood while he was jogging because he was black. In November, Travis McMichael, Gregory McMichael, and their neighbor, William Roddy Bryan, were convicted of murder in state court. Yesterday, they were found guilty of interference of rights, a federal hate crime, and attempted kidnapping. For the federal convictions, these three could now receive up to life in prison and steep fines on top of the life sentences they received for their previous murder convictions. Sentencing will be scheduled at a later date. So Canada finally cleared their roads and bridges of the trucker blockade that affected the whole country. So now they're coming here. Organizers of the so-called People's Convoy released a statement announcing their plans to embark today on a 2,500-mile cross-country drive towards Washington, D.C. to protest coronavirus restrictions. The statement says they want to, quote, jumpstart the economy and reopen the country. What? Have they not seen the latest report on the GDP? Apparently not, as it's at an almost record high. Anyway, their planned 11-day trek would approach the Beltway around the U.S. Capitol on March 5th, quote, but will not be going into D.C. proper. That clashes with a new filing for a permit received by the National Park Service for a demonstration on March 1st at the, quote, National Monument. I think they meant the Washington Monument. I should also note that Tuesday, March 1st is the date of the State of the Union address. On a related note, the Pentagon on Thursday said it had approved 700 National Guard troops to, quote, provide support at designated traffic posts, provide command and control, and cover sustainment requirements from February 26th through March 7th. About 50 large tactical vehicles were also approved to be placed at traffic posts. So this happened. The United States Soccer Federation has agreed to pay members of the U.S. women's national team $24 million to settle their equal pay lawsuit. Under the settlement, the players will get a lump sum payment of $22 million plus another $2 million to be deposited into an account supporting players in their efforts to promote women's and girls' soccer after their playing years end. And the U.S. Soccer Federation is also committed to equal pay rates for members of the women's and men's national teams. In a statement, the players said this will fully resolve the litigation. And then there's this. For the better part of the last week, Fox, not news, was nonstop telling viewers that what the special counsel John Durham had uncovered was as big as Watergate, even perhaps bigger. But the channel's coverage of the supposed Hillary Clinton scandal they uncovered, which Fox shamed other news outlets for not covering, has completely disappeared. According to a search of TV transcripts, Durham's name hasn't even been mentioned this week on the Fox Not News channel's air. And Clinton's name has only been mentioned a handful of times in cases unrelated to Durham. Well, isn't that interesting? And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.